Hello, I'm Paul Thompson. I'm a member of the School of Biological Sciences at the University of Aberdeen, and I run the Lighthouse Field Station, which is an outstation up in the Moray Firth in the northeast of Scotland. And one of the key study species we've been working on up there are harbour seals, where there's been a long interest in the populations of these animals in the northeast of Scotland, originally because they tended to interact with fisheries, and particularly the salmon fishermen. So a lot of interest in how populations were going up or down, because nationally their populations have seen declines, although actually in the Moray Firth we're seeing a bit of recovery there. And more recently, concern because there are proposals for a number of wind farm sites around Scotland to help meet our 2020 carbon targets. These are an important part of that process. But in doing that, we need to make sure that in the consenting of those different wind farms, we make sure that there aren't any long-term impacts on protected populations, particularly those which are protected under the Habitats Directive. So with marine mammals, we're looking at species like harbour seals around some areas like the Dornoch Firth in the Moray Firth, and actually probably the other species that people are more familiar with, the bottlenose dolphins, where there's an SAC, Special Area of Conservation, for them in the Moray Firth as well. With harbour seals, we have good information on changes in numbers over 20, 25 years now, but there's very few sites around the world where we can properly understand how survival rates and reproductive rates at an individual level vary. And that's because it's difficult to follow individual seals over a long time. In our studies, where we've been working in the area for over 20 years, but it's actually only the last 6 or 7 years that we've been able to follow individuals, because there's a relatively new breeding site in the Moray Firth where we've now been able to get much more detailed information on individuals. We can photograph them, follow them from year to year, and use that information to estimate reproductive rates and survival rates. One of the challenges when we come to looking at construction impacts from wind farms is understanding how underwater noise from pile driving might affect the animals. We know that at very close range it could cause injury, but that's something that can be mitigated for by making sure that there aren't animals in the area when you construct these structures, or at least pile them to the seabed, nail them to the seabed, really. But further afield, we know that if animals are in an area where there's regular noise, then they might ultimately suffer hearing damage, and of course that could affect their survival prospects, might affect their ability to feed, could affect their survival rates. And then they may also be just displaced because behaviourally they want to move away from an area where there's a lot of noise. Trying to tie that kind of individual impact to a population level impact is really tricky. We can construct population models, that's the relatively easy bit, but we need to have a better idea how some of these non-lethal impacts could follow through to changes in reproductive rates or survival. Typically, those kind of population rates have been used to look at the impacts, for example, of exploitation, whether it's fisheries or marine mammals, or perhaps bycatch in the case of some marine mammals. So, given it's difficult to understand those links, one of the approaches we've taken, and really one's forced to take, where you have to provide advice to regulators on this kind of thing when you don't have sufficient data, is to rather than using data which aren't available, is to use expert judgment. So with some of these unknown parameters, what we've done is we've tried to provide a general framework where we can discuss with scientific colleagues across the world and other stakeholders how, for example, we think a change in reproduction may result from being displaced from a feeding area. And then use that information in the population model to look at the short and the long-term impacts of construction of some of these wind farms. And we knew we had to come up with an answer by a particular time in order to inform the regulators who are deciding whether or not to take these assessments ahead. So we've come up with a framework which can be used, and it's very conservative, so which you need to be conservative because we're dealing with European protected sites. And it looks as if whilst there may, looking at these worst case scenarios, be some short term impacts during construction, we think that longer term, as long as everything else is okay for these populations and they're generally in a kind of upward trajectory or stable trajectory, we should see recovery to previous levels. So in that respect, we're looking at a short-term impact and not a long-term impact on the conservation status of these animals. In fact, many of us believe that this very conservative assessment is over-conservative, and probably with some of the work that's been carried out by ourselves and colleagues elsewhere around Scotland, we'll gradually see that uncertainty reduced and we can perhaps come up with more realistic predictions about most probable impacts. But ultimately, what we need to do is carefully design studies which will allow us to properly assess impacts if and when these these developments go ahead. And I think in the past what's often happened is there has been monitoring around, for example, some of the wind farm sites in England, but it hasn't been carried out within the framework of these individual-based studies. So you might be able to look at long-term changes in seal numbers, but you can't, for example, attach a transmitter to a seal or a recorder to a seal, which might give you some information on exactly where it was, what noises it was exposed to, and then follow that individual over the next few years to see how it's affected its reproductive success or its survival prospects.